A good moed, and thank you so much for joining us. Today is Yud Ches Tishrei, Tufshin Pei Dalet. It is October 3rd, 2023. It's the second day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. I want to thank, as always, Mr. Jake Wyman, Mr. Mitch Green, and today I'm learning in honor of my wife, sons, daughters, daughters-in-law and grandchildren, many of whom are here to visit Baruch Hashem. I thank the Ribono Shel Olam for all the nachas, and thank you all of you. So many times the Chafetz Chaim was reminding us in the first part of Machane Yisrael, when he gave his pep talk, his encouragement to the soldiers, Ikar Hatzalas Nefesh Ha'adam Be'ez HaMelchama, the main reason a person is rescued in the midst of a raging battle, either on a battlefield or in the challenges of life, we kept saying it over and over again. Hiskabro al-oyevav, the fact that the person can persevere and prevail over his adversaries, his enemies, taloy begodel hischaskus koach bitchono v'Hashem. Over and over, I circled it every time the Chofetz Chaim mentioned it. It all depends on the greatness of the person strengthening himself. How powerful his trust is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then proportionate to that will be the person's salvation, his deliverance. Again, Lefi Godel HaBitachon, I'm quoting parts that we've already learned. According to the greatness, the degree of the trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reliance on Hashem's mercies and deliverance, Kein Hu Godel HaHatzlacha. So, proportionately, accordingly, is the greatness of the person's success. One more time he said it. This was the end of what we learned last time. This person fortifying himself with the proper thoughts of emuna and bitachon, yiyesiba, will be the cause, lahatzil nefesh chaveru, to save his friend, min hamavis, from death. We learned last time, we have another dimension of bitachon, taking it to the next level, sharing it, causing it to wear off on others around us, the way Yonasan ben Shaul did with David, as we learned this sukkim inside with the Mayam Loes from the Mefarshim in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. The problem is, what happens if it doesn't seem to have worked? Now, we have to stop there for a second. Well, if it really didn't work, we wouldn't be talking about anything because we wouldn't be here, Chas v'Shalom. The bitachon was that I'm going to be able to, quote-unquote, walk between the bullets and come home alive. Well, that worked. Let's say the person is Baruch Hashem alive, but something else happened. The Chofetz Chaim addresses soldiers regarding a dilemma, a critical problem, almost unthinkable. Va'afilu im ira be'eze inyan. Chofetz Chaim tells us, even if it happened, Chas v'Shalom, somehow, she'nofal bidei oyevim, that the person on the battlefield, yes, the person is not injured bodily, but the person became a prisoner of war. Chas v'Shalom fell in the hands of the enemies, hametzikim lo, who were oppressing him. I said to myself, where does this happen in life? There's a middle ground. The ultimate bitachon and salvation is that I'll come home totally intact, unharmed, back home to the safety of my bias from the battlefield. That if I have a challenge, remember we learned the Rambam the first time around, how he summarizes the predicaments, the challenges of life based on EO, which is really every person, a mushel for every person. That we have relationship problems with children, with other relatives, with friends. We have parnasa. We have the challenges and the difficulties of bringing in enough income. And we have health issues sometimes. What if in one of these cases I had the ultimate bitachon, 100% bitachon, that it's going to be fine? But what if it wasn't fine, chas v'shalom? Let's stop for a minute. If I'm alive and thinking about what to do now, that means that I'm still here. That means Hashem has a reason that I'm here, and maybe I can work through it. And I'll just tell you a personal story very briefly. I started this VOD with Hashem's help because something was a red flag on one of my medical tests, and I had bitachon right away. I started to this VOD and working more on bitachon. I always worked on bitachon. I did more than usual even. I said, I have 100% bitachon that everything is perfect. Everything's fine. And it came out that really there was something that was not negative, it was actually positive. I tested positive for a certain machala. And I heard a good lushan from a surgeon. I called up the surgeon and said, "Doctor, so what am I supposed to do now?" He said, "And remember, there's wisdom among people of every religion, Chokhmah Bagoyim, Hashem created people in the Tzelem Elokim. They have something to say." He said, "We need intervention. There needs to be some intervention." I said to myself, I like that word, intervention, because that's kind of mild, the way he put it. And I said to myself, that bitachon that I had, that I wouldn't have any illness. That's the Gemara says it was like a tzilas shav. I see in retrospect, literally, that I really had it already. I had that illness already, but it didn't show up to the point that it needed attention until a certain time. And then I had it already, so it couldn't really be reversed. I'm not on that madriga to be able to totally cause it to disappear, to vanish, like poof. But over the last year, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, there was intervention. The first intervention was bitachon and davening. And of course there was what the Aruch HaSadikim tells us. Hashem sent doctors, teams of doctors and cures, and we use that. And that helps us. That is the Hishtadlus, which again is a topic awaiting us to again explore soon. So the Chafetz Chaim says, here's a soldier on the battlefield. It's a similar idea. There's a middle ground. The ultimate salvation would be 100% perfect. And we're capable of that. If we have the bitachon, we are capable, especially when it's early enough. And Chas V'Shalom, the other extreme, we don't even entertain that possibility. Chas V'Shalom, that he wouldn't make it home from the battlefield. But what about if he kind of made it home, but he made it into the wrong home? He's in the barracks of the enemy now. So what's going to go on now? Still, hope is not lost. That's the same thing with us. We're in the middle ground. I have bitachon that this relationship, this relative, it's going to turn out okay. My parnasa, it's going to be fine. Let's say it's not totally fine. But we have to look at it that it is totally fine. First of all, however it is now, and if I can't control it, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second of all, there's a reason that there has to be intervention, because Hashem wants me to go ahead and tap into intervention. So the Chafetz Chaim tells us, this person is a prisoner of war. What does the Halakha Chafetz Chaim tell somebody who's a prisoner of war? Mikol makom, al yipol libo alav. The person's heart should not fall, meaning the person should not despair. A person shouldn't feel, I'm done with, chas v'shalom, I'm done for, I'm finished, I'm doomed. No, that's not something that we think. We don't entertain those thoughts. We say, no, adaraba, I am still here. If I am processing and working through and thinking what I should do, that means I'm very much alive. And I have what to do. I have intervention. Yeda ki akol toloi b'yad Hashem yisparach. That everything really depends on the hand of Hashem. Ki hu elokehu Elohim b'adoneho adonim. Hashem is above all of these military personnel, these generals, the captains. Hashem is above all of them. He's the God of all the perceived deities. He's the master of all the masters. So that means whoever I think is a master, whoever I think is in charge, I'm making a mistake. There's someone above. That's Ribbono Shel Olam, like it says in Koheles, Ki Gavoa Me'al Gavoa Shomer. The Gavoa Me'al Gavoa. Hashem is the high one, the only high one. So I have to stop for a second. I have to catch my breath, calm down, and say, it is not in the hands of human beings. It's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu yachol lafoch libam alav letov. This is remarkable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, but he can do even something I would never even imagine. He can change people's thoughts and their patterns and their approaches of how they think about things and how they think about me. La'afoch libam olav l'tov. Hashem can actually turn over. He can change. He can intervene in their thought process and cause them to think differently about me. Remote control. My wife told me, as it says in the Bitachon Shirim, Hashem can remote control Rabbi Yehuda Mandel. He can remote control people. This is extremely powerful. If I have a problem with how someone approaches me, how someone thinks about me, how someone is acting toward me, that's not a problem. I can daven to Hashem and have Bitachon that Hashem will cause the person to think differently. Birachamu olav, it's psukim, the Chafetz Chaim says. Hashem can cause them to have a change of heart. And they will have compassion on me. One day they're cruel, and the next day they're compassionate. It could happen with relatives. Think of a relative who's not so nice to me, a friend who's nasty toward me. That can change in a second. You know how many times I've done this? I have bitachon. It doesn't take sweat and a lot of effort. It doesn't take anything very extreme. Very simple thought of bitachon. I trust in the Ribono Shel Olam that he's going to drop a thought into that person's mind, and the person will now be friendly toward me, will be nice to me. Now, why do I need that? Because we need people to respect us. Give us basic human respect, at least. And now we have a pasuk, and it's found in Parshas Re'eh. It's really in the context of getting rid of Avodah Zarah. It's where it says, no forbidden property of idolatry is supposed to stick to you. And it says, in that context, if you're really careful, Hashem will give to you a lesson of matana. He will give you a present of mercy, of compassion. He's going to have mercy on you. In other words, he's going to cause human beings to have sensitivity toward you. It says in the Torah, Parshas Re'eh, that means Hashem is the one who can and will control people if we would only trust in Hashem and ask him to do so. Sometimes we need this to get through the day. Some people need that people will smile at them. At least somebody's going to smile at them. So I can have bitachon that it'll happen. And the main idea is, says the Chafetz Chaim, she'is bonin benafsho. A person has to realize and concentrate about the fact that Hashem doesn't do anything unfair. Whatever Hashem does, it's fair. It's always justified. Like it's written, Hashem, who's the rock, it's in Parshas Hazinu. Perfect is Hashem's work, is his actions. Because all of his ways are justice. That means I have to say to myself, Hashem is fair. Hashem loves me. If Hashem's giving me a hard time, he's looking for something. He's looking for intervention. The intervention could be that I have bitachon, that Hashem will put it in the minds of people who aren't so nice to me or people who give me a hard time. Hashem will plop it down in their brain that they should be nice to me. When I was in yeshiva, I heard a great shot from one of my rebbeim. When it says ki chol derachav mishpat, why doesn't it say hatzur tamim paalo? Hashem, who is the rock, perfect is his action, is his work. Ki derachav mishpat, his ways are really fair. It says kol derachav. So I heard in the name of one of the Bali Musar that when a person suffers chas v'shalom, a person in a family, let's say, and other people in the family are going through anguish because of that person's suffering, collateral damage, peripheral feelings of anguish, that tsar that they're experiencing is also planned by Hashem. It's mishpat, it's fair. Hashem takes into account all of the feelings of everybody around the nucleus of the situation. That's why it says kichol derachav mishpat. That means everything that's going on, all of the feelings that we're experiencing, they're all planned by Hashem that we're going to experience this. Hashem really does have a cheshbon. It's calculated. And he's looking for us to be awake spiritually, emotionally, and to connect with him. So the Chafetz Chaim says, so it's all fair. If I had to go through some type of medical intervention or some type of relationship work that I had to work through different situations, or parnasa, nishpa, v'stivas habonosa, it happened because of something that I need to even out with something I did wrong. Maybe it's a guilt, but whatever it is. So what does the person need to do when the person will spill out himself, his soul, in front of Hashem? He'll dive in. And he'll say, I'm sorry. Whatever I did, caused it. Maybe this is why I'm in this pickle now, in this terrible paradox. Ribono shel Olam, please put it in the minds of these people who are oppressing me, that they should no longer oppress me. What will Hashem do? Dr. Chafetz Chaim, Ya'orer Libam. Hashem will arouse the hearts of those people. A love on him, on the one who's suffering in their hands. Hashem will suddenly cause them to think differently. Letov, to think in a positive way toward him. And he will be saved and rescued from that. Absolutely incredible, remarkable, unbelievable what the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us. And the Chafetz Chaim brings it to life. And this statement of the Chafetz Chaim in the Machne Yisrael reminded me of a Gemara, Brachos Daf Yud, famous Gemara, and we talked about it last time around. It was the great wife of her mayor. Her name was Bruria. And I'll read you the Gemara. Hanhu bir Yone. There were these vicious men. Now, there are different explanations exactly what bir Yone are. Rashi says they're paritzim, which is vicious people, very mean people. The Yad Yosef brings another pshat, that there were, bir Yone means listim, it brings from the Aruch, the ancient dictionary, that there were robbers, there were criminals. He was living in a neighborhood. There were criminals in the neighborhood. It's bir Yone is like Borim, people empty of etiquette, and of there were unscrupulous people, missing meetups. Tahava b'shavavuse de Reb Meir. They were in Reb Meir's neighborhood. Tahava kam etzare letuva. And what happened is they were putting him through a lot of anguish. So what did Reb Meir do? He says, well, I don't see much of a solution here. Have a cowboy, Reb Meir rachme alayu, ki hechi dilimusu. Reb Meir was davening them that they should die. They should drop dead. Amra le, Bruria, divisu. His wife Bruria said to him, interesting approach you have over there, my esteemed dear husband. My zaitech, what is it that you're thinking? What do you hold? It's a pasuk in Tehillim, you know, in Baruch Hinafshi, Parakuf Daud, Tichtiv, as it says, Yitamu chatoim, mina aretz. So, seems to be saying, the way Reb Meir understands, is that sinners should be obliterated. They should be, Hashem should press the delete button on them. They should be removed from the world, terminated. Nikhtiv chotiv, but Reb Bruria said, I don't understand. You're reading the pasuk wrong. It doesn't say chotim, sinners should be terminated. It says chatoyim ksiv. It says sins should be eliminated, not sinners. Now, this happens in other places also, that the word chet and chote can be kind of interchanged with different explanations. It's in Koheles, chote echot yabe tova harbe. So again, it could mean a chet, it could mean a sin. So she said, you're reading it wrong, though. It says the word chatoyim. So what is it that we want to get rid of in this world? We want to get rid of sin, not sinners. It's the actions that need to be obliterated, not the people. But oh, she said, I'll tell you something else. Shafil l'sefe dekra. Go to the end of the pasuk. Look at the end of the pasuk. It says, yitamu chatoyim, you know, aretz. And the way that Bruria is touching up the pasuk, explaining it to her husband, Reb Meir, the great Heliger Reb Meir, the Tana, she said, well, it says, Yitamu chatoyim in aretz, that sins should be terminated. They should disappear. Or reshoim od einam. It doesn't say that there won't be reshoim anymore. It says, no longer are they reshoim. Yitamu chatoyim min aretz. If there are no more transgressions, or reshoim od einam. The people who are doing those actions are no longer wicked. That's the exact translation. Or reshoim od einam. And wicked people, od einam. No longer are they. That means we want people here. But we want good people. We don't need them to drop dead. We need them to behave. Kevan di yitamu chatoyim. Bruria said to Reb Meir, once those sins will be terminated and they won't be happening anymore, Urashim Ode Nam, no longer will the people performing those actions be wicked. So she says to her husband, why do you daven that they die? Do something better. Daven that they do tshuva. Ela boy, rachme alayu. She said to her husband, ask from the Ribbon Shalom to lahadre b'tshuva, that they should come back with repentance. Urashim Ode Nam. And no longer will they be evil. Dr. Gemara, according to this version, so what happened was, Reb Meir said, good idea. Good idea to listen to your wife, especially in things like this. He davened for them, and they came back with tshuva. In my sukkah this morning, I was mentioning that I was going to talk about this, and one of my sons was visiting Yehuda. Esteemed son Yehuda was sitting there. He said, oh yeah, there's an Igros Moshe about this. I said, yeah, really? Let me see if I have a couple minutes. I have to run. Let me see the Igros Moshe. He says, I'll be right back. He runs inside, brings back the Igros Moshe. He says, Daddy, there's a sticky note on it already, and it's bracketed. I said, oh, that's nice. I guess, yeah, I put the bracket, but I forgot about it totally. Thanks, Yehuda, for the help here. So if you look in the Igros Moshe, in Orach Chaim, in the fourth Chelek, well, it's on page Samachay in the classic edition. He talks about Bruria's tefillah, telling Reb Meir to daven that they should do tshuva. Does this bother anybody? How does that work? How does this whole Chofetz Chaim work that we're doing today? How does this whole Vaad work at all? How is it viable? We can't cause other people to do tshuva. HaKol b'idei shemayim, chutz miyiras shemayim, the Gemara says. That's up to human beings. Each human being, himself or herself, makes that choice. Somebody's going to come in here and start playing with my brain, with my emotions, with my bechira, from like 500 miles away. He's going to daven and I do tshuva. That's going to work. Remote control human beings? How could it happen? Isn't that violating the rule that it's up to the person? It's free will. How could somebody else get involved and control somehow how I'm going to think? So Moshe brought this up. It's tfila al harishoyim shayashuva b'tshuva. That's what she was telling her husband. So the Marsha asked this question in this Gemara. He said, HaKol b'idei shemayim, chutz miyiras shemayim. By the way, there's another Gemara, Baba Basra, that HaKol b'idei shemayim chutz mitinin pakim. We won't get into that Gemara now, nor will we translate it or get into it. There is not a contradiction between them, but there's at least two Gemaras that say everything's b'idei shemayim except for. But the notable exception that we have here is yiras shemayim. I only mentioned the other Gemara just to mention, yeah, we know there's another Gemara like that. We can treat it at a different time, perhaps. What maybe come up. So if Moshe says in Igros Moshe, what's the pshat? How does this work? He prefers this approach. Avotzarech lomar, says the Heiliger Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, you have to say, Satzafila hoisa, it does not violate the rule that being a Yirei Shemayim depends on the person's free choice. The fact that someone else can daven, that I will behave better. That does not contradict that. Why? The tefillah was, shelo yeheh lahem nisyonos, that there shouldn't be challenges for them. The challenges that they have, the tests should be reduced. They should be minimized. This is, by the way, if you see Rav Moshe's writings, there's a theme. He's very much into nisyonos. We daven every single morning. Loli dei nisyon. We daven that to Hashem. Hashem, please don't challenge me. I'm not asking to be tested. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pass the test. Well, I can also remote control the other person this way. So Bruria Setzer of Meir, daven that these vicious men, these thieves, these criminals, shouldn't have the temptations anymore that they have. And as a result, they'll do tshuva. Not controlling exactly what they think. Not controlling the choices they make. That's like an unalienable right, except with rare exceptions. We have that right to make that choice. That's called Yiras Shemayim. But from the side of heaven, from Shemayim, it could be that our challenges are reduced and minimized. Because, you know, Rav Moshe suggests, lo hayu chotim ela mechoser parnasu chadoma, especially according to the pshat that's brought in the Yad Yosef, that they were lifting, they were robbers. Why were they robbers? They didn't have enough income. They were poor. So what is the tefillah that Bruya told Rav Meir to say? Daven that they shouldn't sin anymore. What is that supposed to mean? Not that it's going to change their exact thoughts. What's going to happen from the other side? Min hashamayim, somehow they should maybe have an income. They should have a more steady income so they won't have the temptation to rob anymore. So then no longer, that's a Rishoyim Odei Nam. It reminds me of a story that happened one time in a school that I was teaching. There was somebody who was stealing money from people secretly. And at the end of it, Sof Dover, the principal was able to find out who it was. Person came forward and the principal asked the student, why are you stealing money? And the student said, because I don't get spending money. I don't have money. I don't have any spending money. I don't have enough. And from then on, that principal provided spending money because the person was sincere. It was true. Every week, the person was given money by the principal. It was a story with Rabbi Kibbel Zichron Livracha, Nehemiah Kibbel Zichron. So this is the same thing here, Rav Moshe says. Daven, Rav Bruya tells Rav Meir, that they don't do Averus anymore. Rav Moshe says, what do you mean? You can't do that. You can't intervene like that because it's up to the person. No, no, the answer is remove the challenges. Remove the temptation to steal by Hashem, please provide enough money for them. That's one possible approach. And we're all able to ask for that every single morning. Loli dei nisoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't put things in front of me. Don't present situations and scenarios that will be tempting for me. to do Averos Chas V'Shalom. I'm allowed to ask for that. The choices are mine. The Bechira is mine. But the temptations are from the Ribono Shel Olam. They're allowed to be there from Hashem. The second possibility, Rav Moshe says, is Gam Shayach Liyistalel. It's also possible to daven Shashem Yisparach Yazmin Lahem Sheyishmu Divrei Musar Me'Anoshim Tzadikim. Another possibility. The first one was removing temptations, removing the Sionos and tests that would cause them to violate the Ratzon Hashem. The second one is that maybe they will be exposed to words of Musar, inspiring experiences in life. People who maybe will give them a word of inspiration that'll change their mind about certain things. He likes this chat better than what the Marsha's answer, which we didn't get into. But Rav Moshe says, these are the possibilities. What do I take out of this? What I take out of this is, first of all, there's a possibility that if somebody or some people are giving me a hard time, they're tormenting me. Many times, most of the time, it's not on purpose. I'm allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm allowed to have bitachon that those people will have a change of heart, and they will be friendlier to me. At least they won't be vicious and mean toward me. They won't be cold toward me. Just like the Chofetz Chaim, as we started out today, said that the person who was taken as a prisoner of war is able to have bitachon and able to trust in Hashem that those captors will literally change their mind and say, okay, we're going to release the prisoners now. Whatever is going to be the catalyst for it. I can daven that the people who have some kind of passion for not being nice to me won't have that passion anymore, or that tendency, whatever causes it. I also learned from here, as the Chofetz Chaim is telling us, that if a person became a prisoner of war, Chas V'Shalom, the person should never, ever despair and think that there's no hope. There's no such thing as no hope. There's no such thing as Yish. We cannot give up. If we're here, that means that there's something for us to do. There's intervention available. Choices. Oh, there are choices. There sure are. Decisions. Oh, there sure are decisions. Which way to go? We ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chaneinu Meitz Chadeo Abino Bahaskel. Every single day, the first Bakasha, the first thing we ask for in Shemoneh Esrei, please give me good judgment. Give me the guidance to know what to do, when to do it, how much to do it. That's all part of what we're supposed to have in the Bitachon when it comes to being a prisoner of war, Chas V'Shalom. And I was thinking to myself, a prisoner of war, and we're just going to fit it into the three categories of challenges for today, as the Rambam explains. It can be Chas V'Shalom with Parnasa. A person can feel, I am a prisoner, I am captured by circumstances. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation of Parnasa. A person sometimes thinks that. The person can daven, realize there's a way out. There's a way out. There's an escape route. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help me out of here. When it comes to relationships, there's a way out. There's a way out of the difficulty. There's a way to reconcile. There's a way to love and to be loved. And when it comes to health, certainly there are ways out. We know, we've talked about the fact that when a person's alive, as long as we're alive, there's always, always hope. As it says in Koheles, we've seen it many times, Kimi Asher, Yichu Baruch Kol HaChayim Yesh Bitachon. As long as we're here, Baruch Hashem, we have something we can do. We can accomplish, we can get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can work toward Yishuv Das, toward a settled mind, toward a harmonious relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with other people, and maybe more important than anything is a harmonious relationship with ourselves. Because Avas Atzmo, respect ourselves, that allows us and facilitates us to have love and respect for human beings and certainly for Hashem also. Mirz Hashem, when we continue next week, the Chofetz Chaim will talk more and bring more sources about how that prisoner of war has hope and he'll certainly get out of his predicament. A good Moed and a good Yontif. Thank you so much for joining us.